I appreciate you being here in the service this evening. Thankful tonight for the goodness of the Lord and His watchful care and His mercy over us, and allowed us the opportunity to come together and worship and honor the Lord this evening. Thankful for His kindness of the week thus far, and hoping you're having a good week and the Lord's blessed you. There is a lot of things still going on in people's lives that we are trying to keep in our prayers and asking the Lord's help. I will just mention a couple of things and we'll go to prayer, and then we'll look in the Word of the Lord tonight and add some things. But I wanted to mention about Holly. I hadn't said anything about her scans, but I was kind of waiting to make sure that it's all right with him, what I said, and everything. But on her scan results, they weren't as exactly what they had hoped. The tumors hadn't gotten any smaller, but it hadn't gotten any bigger. So that they were disappointed, you know, that it hadn't gotten any littler and everything. But on the scan, there were three little spots on her liver that hadn't been there. And so that was of concern. So they're going to watch them, not sure exactly what they'll be. And I asked Randy, I said, are they changing anything? He said, oh, that for the present time, they're staying the course that they're home. So she had another treatment. Hey, so just ask the Lord to help them. Yeah, I know that it is disheartening and discouraging when they were hoping that that it would be in, showing more progress. But just ask the Lord to help and meet the needs. So I wanted to update you on that. So as I said, she had a treatment today. So ask the Lord to continue to help her. And then all of our other requests, ask the Lord to meet the needs of their hearts and their lives. We have so many that are on our prayer list. So ask the Lord to help them. I'm not going to try to go down all the list, but they're on our website. And to look at them and ask God to touch and help and meet the needs of their lives. I'm going to ask Adam if he will lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight.
Most of all for salvation, for the cross of Calvary, for dying for us when we was unworthy and undeserving of the Lord. I pray, Lord God, that pray that you give us open and receptive heart, O God, unto you, O God, be sensitive unto your touch. And O God, we pray that you touch our pastor. O God, touch his voice and his body. I pray that you give him liberty, make it easy for him tonight as he stands to preach what you've laid upon his heart, O God. I pray, O God, that the prayer be one here in the midst of the service or under the sound of his voice, O God, that don't know you in the free part of the sin, Lord. I pray that you'd ever convict him wrong and save him, O God, before it's everlasting too late. I pray, O God, that you'd help this church, O God, to ever stay strong in the faith, O God, and grow in grace and knowledge of you, Lord. I pray, O God, that you'd move upon all these that are on our prayer list, O God, the need that's on every heart, O God. I pray, O God, that you'd move and work, O God, when we know how in each and every situation that you might get all honor and glory for, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for everything that's done. Tell you we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray.
And I appreciate that. Take your Bibles and go to James, the third chapter. James, the third chapter, in verse 13, we pick up, and James says, who is a wise man, him endued with knowledge among you, let him show how to make a good conversation, his words with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, worry not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of him that hate peace. And that is finishing the James, it is open up. No. Amen. His help. The poem first hits at this fortune. It almost looks like that James is changing the direction of his thoughts. In reality, he is actually continuing with what he is thinking about and talking about in the chapter. And he is started in the chapter, and he was talking about the trouble of the tongue, and he was dealing with how that those that were teachers are in the position of authority. And he was warning them. And he wanted them to understand that in that position that there was a greater responsibility and a accountability. And now he realizes that those in that position at times, they look at themselves that they consider themselves as being wiser than everyone else. And that would cause them to have an air about them. So he was trying to shift gears a little bit, dealing with the same situations, but shifting gears a little bit, talking now about wisdom, and in particular, godly wisdom, still dealing with the proper use of teachers and those that were in that position, talking and using their tongues right, but using the right kind of wisdom. I was hoping I could get past that, and I believe I have now. So James, in this portion now, begins to talk about godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. So in this latter portion of this chapter, that's what he begins to talk about. And that's what I want to look at tonight. So it amazes me the ideas that people have in dealing with wisdom when it comes to church things and godly wisdom. So James is writing them, and I believe it'll help us tonight to understand what godly wisdom and the difference in it and earthly wisdom is all about. So first of all, I want to say something kindly as a little bit of introductory thought, but to help us before we get into the verses about the concept of wisdom. I want to just help us to understand a little bit about godly wisdom. It seems that we have the idea today that when somebody has godly wisdom, that it is the idea that it means that they have understanding of difficult things. That when God gives somebody wisdom, that it seems to mean that they have deeper insight. That they have the ability to understand what's going on around them and have an insight to understand the meaning of things and the purpose of things hard to be understood. That they see it as having the ability to know why God does what He has done in a particular situation. And that they know what God is going to do next. And they look at that as having godly wisdom. They see those who have that kind of wisdom as being closer to God than anyone else. They have that special gift and they are the elite of God. That they have something that nobody else can have. That they walk closer to God than anyone else. And they have inside information to things that nobody else has. And that there are people with that information and they see themselves as the elite. And that seems to be the idea of what James was approaching and dealing with in the text. That some in that day, that those that were teachers there, that they saw themselves as wiser than others there. Because they were teachers, because they were the ones that were in charge of leadership, that they were wiser than everybody else. And they were that kind. And we've got the idea today, or a lot of people have got the idea, let me put it like that, that these are people, they're always analyzing the events of life and trying to figure out why this or that has happened and what this means in the program of God. Does it mean some hidden secret or something that they are only privy to? Does it mean to go this way or to stop or to turn that way or this way? And they feel themselves of having some special wisdom that only they can have. And they feel that that's what godly wisdom is all about. I want to say this in passing and then I'm going on. I just feel the need to just throw this out there. I'm amazed at the people that have come out of the woodwork over the last few months over the coronavirus. I mean, they've come out everywhere on YouTube and Facebook and everywhere else that they have figured all of this out. And they have got it all worked out of why everything is as it is and how it all fits in the plan and the program of God. I want to say, I don't know how it all fits. I don't know how it all works out. I don't understand how it all fits in the plan of God. Yes, God has a plan, and God has a program in it. I think I see a few things that God is doing in it. I think He's trying to wake up our nation. I think He's trying to wake up our world. I think He's trying to wake up our churches. I think He's trying to save sinners. I can see things that God is doing in it. But I don't have it all figured out. But Alice showed me one. Somebody had sent her a while back. Some guys had visions, and he's had dreams, and he says this is what it's all about, and this is what's going to happen and everything. And it amazes me, of all of these that have come out of the woodwork, and they claim to have a special wisdom given them by God. I want to tell you, James is addressing what godly wisdom is all about. I want you to understand tonight what James says about it. To look at the wisdom of God in such a way as what I've described makes it appear that it's only given to certain people. That it is only an elite group that can have it. But godly wisdom is for any of us. It's for all of us that we all can have godly wisdom. There is a preacher who's gone home to be with the Lord. He described godly wisdom like this. He described it like driving a car. And let me just give you what he said. He said like this, when driving a car, it's important to make the right responses to the changing scenes, adjusting your speed, braking, and so forth. He said you don't worry so much about why the engineer put an S-curve at a certain pace or the philosophy of the red, yellow, and green lights and or the reasons behind why someone else is doing certain things. But he said what you do is you keep your eyes open and do the right thing, pay attention, and use your head. He says living with godly wisdom is a lot like that. It doesn't mean we understand everything going on by our superior intellect, but we pray and pay attention to the Lord and do the right things and live the right way by following His Word. And that's what living wisely is all about. Wisdom is steering a straight course through the various turns of life with the help and the guidance of the Lord. That's what godly wisdom is all about. It's by paying attention to God's Word. It's by praying. It's by living your life right. It's by honoring God in your life and serving Him. Proverbs 9 and 10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I say it like this. If you want to arrive at wisdom, you've got to start at the right place. And the starting place is the fear of the Lord. If you'll start at fearing the Lord, follow His guidelines, and live your life right, in the right attitude and the right respect for the Lord, then you're going to have the kind of wisdom to follow God and to find your way through this world. That's what godly wisdom's all about. It is not some thing that gives you great insight into all the secret things that is hidden out there. It is just the ability to see your way through a wicked world. That's what godly wisdom's all about. And that's what James is wanting them to see. So let's look for a few minutes at what he says. So notice the counsel and wisdom that he gives in verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge of among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. James begins with a question. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is the wise man among you? Who's the one? James asked them among you. He said, you that claim that you're teachers, and you that are trying to lead others. Who's the ones among you that are wise? He says, the ones that are endued with knowledge among you. Well, he doesn't wait for an answer. He gives them the answer. He says, let him show out of a good conversation his words with meekness of wisdom. James says, here's the answer to my question. The one that has godly wisdom, the one that's endued with knowledge, is the one that'll show out of a good conversation, and that means a good manner of life, his works with meekness of wisdom. He said the one that is a godly wisdom, that has an endowment of knowledge, is the one that has the kind of life that has a meekness of wisdom about him. In other words, somebody that has godly wisdom is somebody that doesn't go around with the air about them trying to impress others by what they know. Do you know people like that? I do. I know people that when you get around them, they've got that air about them, and it's like they want to impress you by their wisdom and their knowledge. They name drop, and they want to act like, you know, I'm up here and you're down there. That I've got all kinds of knowledge. I've got all kinds of wisdom. But James says the person that has godly wisdom, they don't have that kind of air about them. But they've got a meekness about them. That word meekness is an inward grace. It is a modesty, as opposed to arrogance. They've got a modesty about them. I want to tell you, I know some people that I consider that are wise people. I know some people in my Christian life that when I've got questions, that when I'm searching for help, I'm looking for somebody just to give me some advice. These are the people that I look to. I consider them wise people. But the reason that I turn to them is because they don't act like that they've got that air about them. They've got that meekness and modesty about them. They don't go around like that they've got that air of, hey, I've got knowledge and I've got this ability and I've got this wisdom. Come to me. Come to me. I can tell you. But they've got just that wisdom and they've got that meekness about their wisdom. And they're the kind that I want to look to. And James says that's the kind. They're not out to impress anybody. They're not out to get anybody's attention. They have just got that meekness about them. James says that's the kind. That is the counsel and wisdom that he gives them. But then he gives the contrast of wisdom through the rest of the chapter. Notice the contrast. He begins to say it, verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. James first deals in verses 14 through 16 with earthly wisdom. He starts out by giving us the idea that this is something in verse 14 that apparently is going on in their fellowship. He says in verse 14 again, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. He said, now if you've got bitter envying and strife in your hearts, don't boast in that. Don't glory in that and lie not against the truth. He said, now if you've got bitter envy and strife, there's nothing to glory in that. Now what is this bitter envying and strife? It is that competitive spirit. Competitive spirit. It is the idea of trying to be top dog. Trying to be the best, to be number one. It is the idea of being the smartest. It is the idea of having the highest achievement. It is the idea of I'm going to be better than you. That I've got to know more than you. I've got to be wiser than you. He said that's the wisdom of this world. Don't boast in that stuff. Don't glory in that stuff. Don't have that competitive spirit about you. He said if you've got that bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. There will not ever be that kind of spirit in the church. There will not ever be that in our fellowship. There will not be that competitiveness among teachers, among preachers, among singers. It will not be that. You know, I don't see that in our church. I don't see that in our fellowship. I thank God for the talent we have. I thank God for the singers we have. Thank God for the teachers we have. And for Adam, that's a preacher in our church. I thank God for that. I thank God for the gifts and the talents and the abilities that's in our church. And I don't see that competitive spirit in our church family. I don't see jealousy, bitter envy and jealousy among the church family. somebody plays or sings or teaches or preaches. I don't see somebody getting up with jealousy and bitter envy. And I thank God for that. But it isn't like that to every church fellowship. It isn't like that everywhere. And evidently it was going on there. James says, don't glory in that stuff. That is worldly, earthly wisdom. That's how the world acts. That's how the world competes with each other. And they have that. But he says in verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. He says, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. He said that kind of wisdom is of the world. That's how the world acts. That's how the world does. That's how they compete. And that's how they do. And that kind of wisdom is earthly. It's of this world. It's sensual. That means it's natural. It's natural. It's of the flesh. It goes by feelings and not by faith. It goes by feelings. That's why people get their feelings hurt, because they're going by worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom, and not godly wisdom. They get their feelings hurt because they're letting feelings dominate instead of faith. And he says that's worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom. And he said it's devilish. It's of the devil. It's of hell. He said that's earthly wisdom. That's earthly wisdom. And he says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. That isn't of God. He said that is of the devil. And where envying and strife is, he said there is confusion in every evil work. God is not the author of confusion. If there is confusion in the church, it isn't of God, it is of the devil. You can mark it down. You can mark it down. Earthly wisdom will never accomplish a godly goal. Did you get that? I'll say it again. Earthly wisdom will never accomplish a godly goal. It'll never do it. You'll never accomplish anything spiritual through earthly wisdom. You'll never accomplish it. It takes godly wisdom to accomplish godly things. It takes that. And that's what James is trying to get them to say. So he moves from earthly wisdom to godly wisdom. And we'll finish up here. He says in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It is undefiled, morally pure. He says it is unmixed in its devotion toward God. This kind of wisdom is pure in its devotion toward the Lord. You remember in chapter 1, James made the statement, he said it, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he says this kind of an individual has his mind focused on the Lord. That is his devotion. That this kind of wisdom is a mind, it is a heart focused on God. That's where he gets his wisdom. It is focused on the Lord for his life. That's where he gets his guidance. That's where he gets his direction. It is from the Lord. But then he says it's also peaceable. Peaceable. It is the idea that he not only has a purity in his heart with God, but he has a desire of being peaceable in his heart toward others. In Romans 12 and 18, the Apostle Paul says, if it be possible, as much as I in you, live peaceably with all men. I remind you, Paul says, if it be possible. There's sometimes it's not possible. There's sometimes you just can't live peaceable with some people. But that ought to be your desire, to live peaceable with others. That's the wisdom of God, to desire to live peaceable, if at all possible. If at all possible. He says that is this wisdom. But then he says that it's gentle. The idea of gentle means that it's considerate of others toward them. Considerate of others. It is the idea of not harsh or critical, but considerate. Then he said it's easy to be entreated. That is not headstrong or unwilling to listen to the guidance of others. You know, there are some people that they're just so headstrong that you can't tell them anything. I mean, you know, you try to tell them something and they're not going to listen. But he said, godly wisdom is the kind of individual that you can talk to them, that they're willing to listen. They're willing to listen. That they don't have the attitude that I'm always right and you're always wrong and my way's always the right way. Godly wisdom don't have that attitude. There are some people like that. There are some people, their attitude is that I'm always right and you're always wrong. But godly wisdom has the attitude that I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen. But then he says that godly wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits, showing kindness to others and bearing fruit of it. Then he said without partiality. It is the idea of not changing, depending on who's around. There are some people, they're one thing when this one's around, something else when somebody else is around. It is the idea that they are consistent, that they are the consistent no matter who is around. But then he ties to that, and he said, without hypocrisy. Godly wisdom is somebody who isn't pretending sincerity. That they're not pretending to be something they're not. That is godly wisdom. Somebody that isn't a hypocrite. James says that is what godly wisdom is about. It comes from God and it honors God. I want to tell you, that's godly wisdom. That's what James says it is. James says that's what godly wisdom's all about. It isn't some higher learning that only the elite can reach. But James says that's something we all can have. You say, how do you know? Because in chapter 1, he said, if any man lack wisdom, and he asked, and God would give it. God gives wisdom to those who'll ask. I believe with all of my heart that God desires to give us all His wisdom for daily life, for daily life. It isn't just for the preacher. It isn't just for deacons to know how to guide the affairs of the church. It isn't just for certain ones, but it's for all of us. Godly wisdom to live our lives day by day and week by week, just to know how to live, to honor Him, to magnify His name in this whole world. Those are some things James wanted them to see. And I believe God wants us to see and to understand. I hope tonight that maybe the Lord gives you some thoughts to be a blessing and a help. Challenge our hearts and our lives. Appreciate you being here. Let's all stand and we'll be dismissed. Heaven, would you dismiss us?
Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of going back to your house tonight, Lord, for many blessings of life that you have to us. Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the message tonight, Lord, for the conduits you brought to us for faithful. I pray that you continue to bless him, help him, Father, Lord. I just pray that you touch his voice, continue to strengthen it, Father, Lord. I pray that you help the church, Lord, just to do what you have us to be, Father, Lord. I pray that you encourage each and every one, Lord, in these difficult times. Just ask you to undertake, Lord, and guide and lead in your lives, Father, as you see fit. Just help us all, Lord, to be faithful unto you, Lord, and do those things that will be pleasing unto you. For in Christ's name we do pray.
Amen.